Wait a minute, you haven't touched this or you haven't touched the drums?
They had the bass. Well, thank you. Yes, I feel much better now.
I feel so... Oh, let's just sing, shall we?
Welcome to Thursday night. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Oh, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Oh, mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and only lift me, lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. We'll get it, Sonny.
It's supposed to work.
Your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
It's like, I knew we were supposed to, but as soon as
once you get the timing of it. So what's supposed to happen on that song is I was supposed to have everybody else do the "I can sing your love forever" while over the top
except
of
for
it,
the drummer.
I was doing the verse. Except for the drummer. I could do the verse, which is over the mountains and the sea. Anyway, it'll sound really cool on Sunday. It actually sounded good tonight. We did pretty well. Thanks for sounding good.
Do everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill. Purpose unto heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time that you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing.
Welcome to Thursday Night. Hope you enjoy the song.
Yeah. Just write it in bigger letters on there. So on the top
okay.
Of the page.
And actually, on Sunday, we're actually going to swap this, but I know you know this song, so we'll just kind of sing along here a little bit with it. Because it's a pretty song. It's a pretty song. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face. And I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love.
We need piano for this, don't we?
And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. There are blessings you cannot receive. Hell, you know in Him the fullness and believe. You're the one to profit when you say, I am going to walk with Jesus all the way.
Same page, Todd.
Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Here's a song we can do much better.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms may all pass away, but there's something about that name.
But there's something.
But there's something about that name. Dear hate, I saw you on the news today. Like a shock that takes my breath away. You fall like rain, cover us in drops of pain. I'm afraid that we just might drown. Dear
hey. Well, you sure are colorblind. Your kiss is the cruelest kind. It pours on my mind. Just look at mine. Don't know how this world keeps spinning round and round. You were there in the garden, like a snake in the grass. I see you in the morning, staring through the looking glass. You whisper down to history and echo through these halls, but I hate to tell you, love gonna conquer all.
You were smiling from that silver grin. And Dallas, when that bullet hit and Jackie cried, you pulled those towers from the sky. But even on our darkest nights, the world keeps spinning around.
You were there in the garden, like a snake in the grass. I see you in the morning, staring through the looking glass. You whisper down through history and echo through these halls. But I hate to tell you, love gonna conquer all. When I think you've given up, you were there in the garden when I ran from your voice. I hear you every morning through the chaos and the noise. You whisper down through history and echo through these halls. Tell me, love's gonna conquer all. Gonna conquer all. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when Jesus was.
All my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
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 When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
Yes, he was.
When Jesus was.
Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
All my dirty sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day.
He taught me how to watch. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. In live rejoicing every day. Every day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was.
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 All my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Happy day,
oh, happy day.
He taught me how to watch, oh, watch and pray. watch and pray, and be rejoicing every day, every day. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was.
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 All my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
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 Thank you.
Okay.
Now you get to hear again what we had fun with before.
Well, the south side of Chicago is the baddest part of town. If you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown. Now, Leroy, more than trouble. You see, he's standing about 6'4". All the downtown ladies call him treetop lover. Oh, man, just call him sir. He's bad, bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole darn town. Better than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog. Now, Leroy, he a gambler. And he like his fancy clothes. And he likes to wave his diamond ring under everybody's nose. He got a custom Continental. He got an Eldorado too. He got a 32 cents in his pocket for fun. He got a dollar in his shoe. And he's bad, bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole darn town. Badder than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog. Well, Friday, about a week ago, Leroy shooting dice. At the edge of the bar, saw a hat he was wanting, and oh, that hat looked nice. Well, he cast his eyes upon it, and the trouble soon began. And Leroy Brown, he learned a lesson about messing with the hat of a jealous man. And he's bad, bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole darn town. Badder than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog. The two men took to fight. And when they pulled them from the floor, Leroy looked like a jigsaw puzzle with a couple of pieces gone. And he's bad, bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole darn town. Badder than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog. It was bad, bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole darn town. Badder than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog. Yes, you were badder than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog.
So I have had an awesome boys' flight, boys' chrysalis flight. It was good. There were six. Yes, remember they serve caterpillars, and they leave there as butterflies. I'll have to bring in my butterfly, you know, because in the boys' chrysalis they give you get a little ribbon, and you get a caterpillar, and then you get the cocoon. I guess the best way it's called the chrysalis. Thank you. That's why they call it chrysalis, right? And then the butterflies. You get three pins. So I have to bring that. That's actually in my truck. I have to run me show it to you. But yeah, no, the team actually arrives Friday night. The caterpillars arrive on, caterpillars arrive on, Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And then they leave Sunday night around, depends when you get done, usually around 4 or 5 in that window. And it's 7 p.m. after closing on Sunday or Monday, because it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday. For the youth, they traditionally will do it on President's Day weekend or Martin Luther King weekend. Boys on one weekend, girls on the other. So this year, the boys were the second ones, which actually I'm told is actually the way they normally do it. But regardless, it was great. I got to be the techie guy there, which meant I had my computer the whole time. And that's a blessing and a curse because you do all the talks. And the talks they do are all similar to the adult walks, with the exception of two. They do a singles talk and they do a marriage talk. And the singles talk, the person does their talk, they leave, come back about 10 minutes later, and people have filled out cards that they submit. So the submitting of the cards and they answer the questions, and that's always interesting. And then they have a married couple's talk. Literally, a husband and wife come out and talk. And then same thing, they leave, 10 minutes later, they come back, and they've got questions. So it's that part obviously is different from the adult walk. You know, that follow-up interaction, if you will. But it's necessary there for the youth. A lot of the talks, the grace talks and all that stuff, are really very similar, but they're kind of titled a little differently. Things like prevenient grace, sanctifying grace, that's the message they were giving, but that's not the title of the talk, because people look at, huh, what? Even as adults, we look at that, huh? Prevenient grace, sanctifying grace, means of grace, obstacles to grace. What's the fifth one? Sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace. So all the graces. Those are usually all the talks that are done by clergy. So you know, I've been using this reading plan, which is kind of neat because it's looking at the same passages. It's called the New Testament Chronological. And it's looking at the same passages, and it's kind of neat to see the differences between the way the Gospels are recorded by the different ones. Now, this particular one is dealing with Matthew 27 at the beginning of it. It's the first one I'm going through. And I'll read through this one, and then the next ones, I'll just kind of highlight at least some of the stuff, the different ones that come out. As I listened to all these today, it was like, boy, it sounds like the same thing. I mean, there's a couple subtle differences, which is pretty interesting. But Matthew 27, verse 1 says to us that very early in the morning, the leading priests and the elders of the people met again to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. Then they bound him, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So Judas took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests of the elders and said, I have sinned, for I have betrayed an innocent man. And they retorted to him, what do we care? That's your problem. So Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hung himself. Right? The leading priest picked up the coins and said it wouldn't be right to put this money back into the temple treasury. They said since it was a payment for murder. After some discussion, they decided to buy the potter's field and they made it a cemetery for foreigners. That is why this field is still today called the Field of Blood. This fulfilled the prophecy in Jeremiah that said, they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price at which he was valued by the people of Israel, and purchased the potter's field as the Lord directed. So again, prophecy being fulfilled, right? Now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor, and Pilate asked Jesus, are you king of the Jews? And Jesus replied, you have said it. You know, so Jesus didn't say, I'm the king of the Jews. He pretty much acknowledged it. But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. Don't you hear all these charges they are bringing against you? Pilate demanded. But Jesus had no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. Okay. Now the next version of that happens in Mark 15, which is also at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. And matter of fact, I can't even read this because it's very short. So what all the stuff that I read before, this is how Mark summarizes it. Very early in the morning, the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, are you king of the Jews? Jesus replied, you have said it. Exactly what we saw in the previous one. Then the leading priests kept accusing him of many crimes, and Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they're bringing against you? But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. So there we saw now in Mark, much more condensed version, right? Now we go to Luke 23, again, starts at the beginning of the chapter. And Luke 23 says, the entire council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. They began to state their case. This man has been leading people astray by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government and by claiming he is Messiah the King. So you already see a difference happening in this one, right? We get a little more detail. And of course, this is Luke's perspective. You know, Luke the physician, Luke the doctor, this is how his take is on all this. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you King of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." A lot of consistency, you know, through that part of it. Pilate turned to the leading priests and to the crowd and said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." Now, we don't have that in the previous two, do we? All right, you can see some of the differences that happen here. But they became insistent. He is causing riots by his teaching wherever he goes, all over Judea, from Galilee to Jerusalem. Then Pilate says, "Oh, he's Galilean." And when they said this, Pilate sent him to Herod Antipas because Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction. And Herod just so happened to be in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus because he had heard about him and he had been hoping for a long time to see Jesus perform a miracle. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and teachers of religious law stood there shouting their accusations. Then Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a royal robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. And then this is one of those typically added verses when it's in parentheses. This is verse 12. Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies before, became friends that day. All right, now Jesus was their common denominator, right? Okay, so isn't that interesting how just the first two were kind of similar? One, you know, you get a little detail, less detail, a lot more detail. But what's fascinating is then the last one here for John. This is John 18. Now, this actually starts around verse 28. Jesus' trial before Caiaphas ended in the earliest hours of the morning. So they're using the Greek names instead of some of the other Hebrew names, presumably. But it ended in the early hours of the morning. Then he was taken to the headquarters of the Roman governor, meaning Pilate. His accusers did not go inside, the Jewish people, accusers, did not go inside because it would defile them and they wouldn't be allowed to celebrate the Passover. See, there's a whole other level of detail now we have, you know, happening in here in John 18. So Pilate, the governor, went outside to them. So essentially they said, "Hey, Pilate, would you come on, come on?" You know, they kind of knew how this played. So Pilate went out to them and asked, "What is your charge against this man?" And they said, We wouldn't have handed him over to you if you weren't a criminal." "Then take him away and judge him by your own law," Pilate told them. Then the Jews, the accusers, replied back, "Only the Romans are permitted to execute someone." Now this fulfilled Jesus' prediction about the way he would die, meaning a Roman death on the cross. Okay? Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. All right, so keep in mind, he was outside before, now he's in, so now Jesus comes into him. And he says to Jesus, "Are you King of the Jews?" And Jesus replied, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" Now Pilate, of course, is a little annoyed, right? So he says, "Am I a Jew?" He said, "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" So Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate then said, "So you're a king?" And Jesus responded, "You say that I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them he is not guilty of any crime. Now, the one thing I find, of course, you can see all the variations with it, how the different perspectives and different levels of detail they felt were needed. What I find interesting, though, is actually one of the last things I said. "What is truth?" Pilate asked, but they don't write any verses after that. So did Jesus answer him? Or did Jesus, my presumption is he didn't, you know, because that's a pretty powerful one right there. What is truth? So I pose the question to you. What is truth, right? For me, this is truth. The Bible, it's the inherent word of God, right? And so some people will try to argue, well, especially between different revisions of the Bible, right? Some people will argue, well, you know, it's man who wrote the words in that, but that's my full belief that this is God-inspired. Because remember, Jesus had told his disciples before he left, finally, after he had resurrection and was with the disciples, he said, "Hey, the Spirit will bring back to remembrance everything you need," which is how these are written. But so you see a lot of similarities with it, but yet you see some extra detail. So isn't that kind of neat that the Holy Spirit said, okay, John, you need to write down this part of it, you know, and Luke, you're here, Matthew, John, you know, you go down the whole, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John thing, and we get it. Isn't it funny though? Was it, what was the second one I did? Was it Mark, I think? You know, it was six lines compared to, you know, the whole expansion on the details. So the chrysalis thing the neat thing with that weekend is, of course, we showed six young men. They were aged like 15 to 17, I think. Six young men were really shown the love of God, shown the truth of God. Got to hear some really powerful messages through that. They got to hear truth. Got to hear truth. Truth is neat. But yeah, so you can probably tell I like this parallel version thing. It's really neat. Because when I was doing the reading of Bible in a year, which I've done like 10 or 11 times, you hear it, but by the time you get through that gospel and you start it over again, you know, there's enough gap between there. This is just fantastic. Just saying, here's the differences. And to me, it highlights a lot of things on, like I said, on what was important to the writer. Because we got the same thing that happens in our daily lives now, don't we? You have five people witness the exact same incident and they'll all describe it totally different. I shouldn't say totally different. They'll describe it with their perspectives. Somebody hit someone. Well, he hit him. No, he hit him. No, nobody hit anybody. What are you talking about? You know, it just goes down the list. It's all the perspectives. And I know Tom deals with that all the time. That's a daily thing. They said, she said, I said, ah. It's a lot. But our God is good. Our God is gracious. Tell me how Sandy is doing. There you go. Oh, let's make a circle. We got a small enough group. We can have our little circle out here. Got another to add to the list? You said, oh, give me the sickly one. Give me the sickly one over here so nobody worries about his hand. I'm not worried about it. Like, you can blame Tom. Tom deals. He goes to hospitals all the time. He's fine.
Well, that was for me, not him.
Oh, bless God. Bless God. Thank you guys for being here tonight. It's a good thing to come together. Come together and lift up God and make a joyful noise. That's what it was tonight. A joyful noise, but we love it. We love it. We love God. And we thank you, Lord, for your great blessings. So, Lord, I just thank you for, we work around backwards here, patience. I thank you for your peace and your patience. There's a lot of very confused, misguided people that aren't focusing on the truth and the light, and therefore they are confused. Like you say it, right? They are confused. I thank you, Lord, that your truth, you gave us the word. I thank you that the time we spent here going through the different versions of Jesus coming before Pilate, how it shows those different perspectives. How those perspectives are important with the way that, you know, when we interact with others, the way they interact with us. They see things that are important to them, we see things that are important to us. So in those times when those two don't meet, Lord, I thank you that you give us wisdom, give us peace. Peace, guidance, and love. Lord, we know the power of words. Proverbs 18:21 and many other places talks about life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we eat the fruit of it. So it's sowing and reaping. It's what we speak can just come back. And sadly, sometimes can be taken to an extreme. But Lord, I thank you for mercy and judgment through the judicial systems in these times when it's just plain blown out of proportion. So peace for the families that are affected. Peace for this whole community. It's just that there's a level of darkness that just seems to be rising up all over the place. Thank you, Lord, for Billy Graham. What he represented for, gosh, 100 years. He had like 417, I think, crusades in 120-some countries or something. I mean, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. but he represented the goodness of that. So I thank you, Lord, that he's just sitting right up there, hanging out with y'all. So, Lord, I thank you that all those people that Billy has touched over the years, I thank you that they all rise up. They touch lives. As we come up against this darkness, it keeps just bubbling and trying to rise up in our country and this world. There's a lot of junk that needs to be crushed. The only way it's crushed is it's smothered by the light of Jesus. Lord, we come against infirmity, sinus, junk, all the things that can mess with us this time of year. We command a bow in the name of Yeshua Christ Jesus. So infirmity, you go. And let them go. Just thank you for clear, open sinuses, Lord. It's perfect peace, which surpasses all understanding. But Daddy, we thank you for patience, for peace. Thank you for Sandy, her knee just supernaturally just healing up even faster than what the doctors are already impressed with. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord, that she's amazing the doctors by your grace and mercy. So let's finish this up rapidly. And thank you, Lord, for the great success from that and the great success we're going to see for Leroy. His kidney. Thank you, Lord, that guide the surgeons on what needs to happen, that he can just have a full recovery. Just live out his life in just perfect peace and joy the way you created for us. Lord, I thank you. Lord, we thank you especially for retirement. It's good to run the race, but it's also good to finish the race. As I've retired 5 times and I just keep getting back in the game. Yeah. But it is nice to see endings. And at least even if they're imaginary. Yeah, I know. Okay. But still, end of an era, right? End of an era. But that's good. That's good. It's blessed. Great peace for you, Linda. Great just peace for all these little things that kind of get in the way. And that God gives you the next phase for your identity.
He is.
He is, absolutely. He is. Because as long as you're standing on and walking around on this earth, you've got a mission. You've got a purpose.
Yep.
Right. Lord, I thank you for those six young men that were on the Boys Chrysalis flight over this past weekend. I thank you, Lord, that you just touch them. Touch them and just keep loving on them. It was great. We had a lot of men, of course, on the team supporting that. And I thank you for how they were all touched. Touched them. Yes, join me, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.